Job growth slows in March.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Friday, the 5th of April. The Labor Department reported this morning that just 88,000 jobs were added in the U.S. last month. That was the worst job growth in 9 months. The unemployment rate did tick down from 7.7 to 7.6%, but that was in large part because many people stopped looking for work. Seth Harris is the acting U.S. Secretary of Labor, and he's with us now from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so the economists we've been speaking to are not too happy about this report. What do you make of it?
Well, there's no question it's a mixed report. The economy added 88,000 jobs overall, 95,000 in the private sector. That makes 37 consecutive months of private sector job growth, adding almost 6.5 million jobs to the economy. And the unemployment rate did tick down, but it does show us that there's a great deal more to do in creating middle-class jobs and helping our economy to grow at a faster rate. We need to accelerate this rate of job growth to get people back to work.
But it was a significant drop-off from February. So do you know what that's about? Is that sequester? Is that the payroll tax increase?
Well, it's a mix of factors. Certainly the sequestration, these arbitrary across-the-board cuts to all federal programs, didn't help. You know, when you're trying to get your car to go faster, it doesn't make sense to step on the brake. But we also think it's an indication of the economy as a whole needing the government to be a catalyst rather than a barrier in moving the economy forward. So the president's going to lay out a budget next week that's going to suggest a strategy for how we can do that by investing in infrastructure, dealing with our long-term deficit problems, investing in worker training and opportunities for veterans to get into middle-class jobs. All of that is going to help the economy to grow, along with things like comprehensive immigration reform and increasing the minimum wage. Those strategies will help our economy to move forward.
Finally, one more number in here. The labor force participation rate, the lowest since May of 1979, 63.3%. What's that about?
Well, that's a mix of two factors. One is, as our labor force ages, older workers tend to participate in the workplace less than do younger workers. But also a part of it is because the labor market is facing a lot of challenges right now, and there are not enough jobs for the number of workers that we have. And so some number of workers are giving up. The solution to that problem is to create a larger number of good middle-class jobs at a faster rate. That's what the president's going to be proposing in his budget next week.
Seth Harris is acting Secretary of Labor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, this morning's report said there are 4.6 million people who have been out of work for 6 months or more. They're considered long-term unemployed. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore visited an employment center in the Bronx, New York, and spoke with some of them.
Carlos Ramirez is 24. His unemployment checks are about to run out.
I've been unemployed since August. I was a parking attendant.
He's been looking for work as a mechanic.
It's really hard to get a job right now. I haven't got to college yet because I take care of my mother.
Unemployment checks are what stand between a lot of people and financial ruin. Crystal Arroyo is 25. She used to work at a laundromat. Her unemployment ran out 2 weeks ago.
Now my bills that I do have, they're getting backed up. I've been borrowing my sister, my mother.
One in five long-term unemployed people have at least a college degree. Akilah Matthews lost her job as an insurance analyst 7 months ago. All of her unemployment checks go to paying her student loans. But she's still optimistic.
As long as you keep believing, even in the down times, that, you know, something, some kind of opportunity will present itself.
She says competition for every job is fierce. Figures show it's taking longer and longer for the unemployed to find work. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
One of the people we've checked in with from time to time on this show is Larry Summers. He was Treasury Secretary under President Clinton and chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisers under President Obama. He's now teaching at Harvard, where he used to be president. And on this Jobs Friday, we thought we'd check in with him about the economic recovery. I started our interview by asking him how the stock market can be near record highs when unemployment is still where it is and the housing market is just starting to recover.
I think the stock market looks forward, and I think there is a sense that the economy may be turning. That sense is supported by the fact that the housing market really has turned, by the fact that consumers' balance sheets are improved, by the fact that we've got a variety of kinds of energy investments underway in a significant scale. And, of course, the rise in the stock market creates more wealth, which drives spending.
Well, so do you agree with the stock market that good times are ahead?
You know, we economists never think we can know the future with precision, or at least those who are sensible among us never think we can know the future with precision. But I think the preponderant probabilities are more favorable than would have been the case a year ago.
Well, on that point, you said something interesting recently at the London School of Economics. You said the traditional breakdown between the structural and the cyclical that is central to economic thinking has become highly problematic. Basically, that the old models that are used for economic forecasting may no longer apply.
Well, there's an idea that there's a conventional wisdom that you can have a downturn and the downturn will last, and then the downturn will be reversed, and then you'll be back where you started from. And what we've come to understand better, I think, is that there's what economists call hysteresis effects. When the economy goes down, there's less capital investment. Some people who lose their jobs go on disability and never come back to working. Some young people who come out of school never get on the kind of track they hope to. And that stays with them. And so the temporary blemish of a downturn leaves a permanent scar in reduced potential for the economy to produce. And in that sense, cyclical problems can harden into being structural problems. And my fear is that there's an element of that in the current American situation. And that's why accelerating the recovery in any way we can is so very important.
Well, on that note, do you think that Washington is doing the right things right now to accelerate the economy in any way that they can? It doesn't seem like they're getting much done at all at the moment.
I'd like to see more. I'd like to see us investing much more heavily in infrastructure. I would like to see us moving more strongly to make the fundamental kind of investments the country needs in education and in R&D. I would have preferred to see the payroll tax cut phased out or continued for some interval until the economy had more fully recovered. I'd like to see steps to address our long-run fiscal challenges that would have a greater prospect of increasing confidence, which is also an important determinant of spending decisions.
Larry Summers, former top economist to President Obama, now at Harvard University. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank you.
And next week, we'll get a different view on the economic recovery from Glenn Hubbard, who held the same position as Larry Summers in the White House under President George W. Bush. He's now dean of the Columbia Business School. And finally, if you're driving by the 29-story Cira Center in Philadelphia later this month, you might get to witness a supersized game of Pong. A professor from Drexel University is helping to recreate the classic Atari game on the side of the building. 150 people will be able to play over 2 days. The joystick will be standard size. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.